You would please turn with me to Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8, verse 1. Let us hear now again the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. So Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, Behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city. And it shall come to pass, when they come out against us as at the first, that we will flee before them. For they will come out after us. Till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, They flee before us as at the first. Therefore, we will flee before them. Then ye shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be, when ye have taken the city, that ye shall set the city on fire according to the commandment of the Lord shall ye do. See, I have commanded you. Joshua therefore sent them forth, and they went to lie in ambush and abode between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. And Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people, and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people to Ai. And all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai. And he took about 5,000 men and set them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, even all the host that was on the north side, north of the city, and their liers in wait on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. And it came to pass, when the king of Ai saw it, that they hasted and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people, at a time appointed before the plain. But he wist not that there were liers in ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. And all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them, and they pursued after Joshua and were drawn away from the city. And there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not out after Israel, and they left the city open and pursued after Israel. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thine hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city, and the ambush arose quickly out of their place. And they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered into the city and took it, and hasted and set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven, and they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people that fled to the wilderness turned back upon the pursuers. And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again and slew the men of Ai. And the other issued out of the city against them, so they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side. And they smote them, so that they let none of them remain or escape. And the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness wherein they chased them, and when they were all fallen on the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned unto Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. And so it was that all that fell that day, both of men and women, were 12,000, even all men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the cattle and the spoil of the city, that city Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according to the word of the Lord, which he commanded Joshua. And Joshua burnt Ai, and made it an heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. And the king of Ai he hanged on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city, and raise upon thereon a heap, a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man hath lifted any iron. And they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord, and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel, and their elders, and officers, and their judges, stood on this side the ark, and on that side before the priests of the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well the stranger as he that was born among them. Half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. The chapter divides very nicely into two sections. Verses 1 through 29 speak of the Israelites conquering Ai and Bethel, although mostly under the name Ai, because Ai was the larger of the two cities. In verses 30 through 35, we see the Israelites pronounce the blessings and cursings upon Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, according to the Lord's word in Deuteronomy 27. In that first section there, we see the narrative as it is played out. The Lord had turned back his anger from the situation concerning Achan and his household. And yet at this point, it seems to me that the Lord had not yet revealed that to Joshua. And so even after Joshua had delivered Achan to the Lord for judgment, Joshua and the people were still in great trepidation. Their hearts melted and became as water. Up to this point, the Lord had not yet revealed the fierceness of his anger was turned away. And so, what needed to happen in order for him to be assured? The word of the Lord must come. The word of the Lord must speak. And this reminds us that whenever we're confronted with the fearful apprehension that we have sinned against God, the guilt of our sins can weigh upon our conscience and arrest us in our duty, can't it? And so we must be vigilant to take comfort in the Lord's forgiveness. But we do not do that presumptuously. We do not do that by searing our consciences. We do not do that by hardening our hearts in sin. How do we do that? How do we know that the Lord has forgiven us our sins? Well, we turn to the Word of God. When we have confessed our sins, when we have repented of our sins, when we work that process of bringing fruit, meat for repentance, we can turn to the Lord. We must look to Christ, our advocate with the Father, who is the propitiation of our sins and intercedes for us continually. He alone can provide the comfort that would satisfy our consciences so that we might proceed forward in faith. And we take comfort in the Word of God, which reveals unto us that reality, that our Lord Jesus Christ has cleansed us from our sins, that we have forgiveness with the Father. Its proclamations of forgiveness and promises that he will cleanse us from our sin give us that clear conscience so that we can move forward. And this is exactly what the Lord did with Joshua here when he said, "Fear not, be not dismayed." Having proclaimed his forgiveness, then the Lord assures the people that he has given Ai into their hands, and he encourages the people by giving them the spoils of that victory, right? Jericho, it wasn't like Jericho. Jericho was the first fruits of that conquest offered up to the Lord, wholly burnt up. But Ai was different. You're going to destroy the city. You're going to destroy the inhabitants thereof. You're going to destroy the king. But you're going to take the cattle and the spoil thereof, and that's going to be for you. And then he commands them as to the strategy. And we note here that what the Lord tells Joshua is a very simple one-line sentence, isn't it? Lay ambush for the city behind it. And Joshua then, as you know, a pretty impressive war strategist, reasons from that to the strategy that we see play out in the rest of the chapter. Okay, so what is that strategy? There are commentators that are divided about the 30,000, the 5,000. It seemed to me to be pretty clear in the passage what is going on here. Joshua first goes and picks out 30,000 men of valor. Remember, they're over in near Jericho and Gilgal, right? Jericho and Gilgal, right? Ai and Bethel are closely right here. And so he picks 30,000 men to go and on the south side of the city to come around the backside of the city and position themselves between Ai and Bethel on the south side. 30,000 men. Okay, so that's the first thing. Why did they do it by night? Well, if you're moving 30,000 men, you might not want to do it in the broad daylight, because then they're going to know, hey, there's 30,000 people behind us, right? The other thing is why did they do it toward the beginning of the night? Well, because it takes a while to move 30,000 men, right? And so while the trip was not that far, right, relatively speaking, it took a long time to move that amount of force. So he sends them out the night before. So we see Joshua's diligence in doing that to make sure that when the rest of Israel got there, that ambush was ready. Okay, so Joshua abides with the people in Gilgal, near Gilgal, over here. And then he pursues and he takes a northern route, the other side of the city. Okay, and he gets to the northern part toward the east, so northeast of the city, and he goes and says, okay, I'm going to divide out an additional 5,000 men, and I'm going to set them towards the northwest of the city. So you have Ai here, Joshua and his forces here, 5,000, and then you have 30,000. Make sense? So three companies. Okay, and what's the plan here? The plan is for Joshua to meet the enemy forward, right? To draw them out of the city, because Joshua has an indication from the Lord that they're going to act presumptuously. They're going to send out the whole force. And Israel's going to flee. And then what's going to happen? The Lord is going to say to Joshua, "Hold out thy spear." Why? Because that's the signal. The people are out of the city. Now is the time. And what happens? You have Ai, Joshua holds out the spear, 5,000 see it, they rush the city. These 30,000 see the 5,000 rushing in, and they come in, right? How are the people behind the city going to see Joshua raising the spear if there's a city in their way? And so the 5,000 triangulates the message. They didn't have cell phones back then, right? And so there's the strategy as it kind of lays out. Let's be careful here. Israel's first failure at Ai was not a problem of strategy. Why did this strategy work? Because it had the blessing of the Lord. Plain and simple. Though it was a faint move, you know, when we talk about faint moves in you know, kind of war theory, you know, there's some who would say that any kind of faint move in war is a violation of the Ninth Commandment. That's not true. Because a faint move is just a test of your opponent's strategy, isn't it? The king of Ai may have never brought his people out. He may have defended it from the wall, right? And so what did Joshua have to do? He had to have contingency plans, right? There was the 5,000 over here. What if they go that way? There's the 30,000 behind. What if I need reinforcements? There's all these other strategies that Joshua could take up if that feign happens to fail. All right, so the men of Ai come out. The king, instead of the Israelites acting presumptuously, the king of Ai acts presumptuously. They said, they're come out. We'll make them flee just like they did before. And so he comes out and meets Joshua in the open field. Joshua flees, feeding into the king of Ai's presumption. And then what ends up happening? Joshua gives a signal. 5,000 rush in. 30,000 rush in. They take the city. The men of Ai look behind them and they see, our city is burning. We have nowhere to go. We're surrounded. And so the men of Israel in Joshua's camp turn forward. The men come out of the city and meet them. And so the warriors of Ai are completely surrounded and they are destroyed. And Joshua fulfilled the commandment of the Lord. All the men, all the women of Ai were destroyed. The city was razed to the ground. The spoils were taken. And the king of Ai was hung on a tree, because cursed is everyone that hangs upon a tree. And then taken down at evening, buried with a big heap of stones in front of the razed city of Ai, so that it might be a testament for ages to come that this was where the cursed lay. Then you come to the second part of the passage. Now that they've cleared their way to Ebal and Gerizim, which is just a little bit northwest of the city of Ai, now that the way has been cleared, they go to Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim to perform the word of the Lord concerning the ceremony that's there. It's a much more abridged version of the ceremony for the sake of time. I won't go back into it. I would encourage you, if you have questions about it, to look at Deuteronomy 27, where it's detailed out much more. But I'll pick out a couple of key points. The first thing that we note is that Joshua, at the first available opportunity, does this ceremony. He had cleared his way in, and he's there. And so we must also note that as we live in this world, we must not defer to pay our vows unto the Lord. If we have, when we talk about it, when you think about Joshua, was that really the suitable time? According to our natural sense, was that really the suitable time? Has he really brought the people in, and are they dwelling in safety such that they don't have to fear any other enemies coming in? Naturally speaking, they're surrounded by enemies. And yet, we are always safe when we are in the service of God. And so that was no concern to Joshua. The second thing that I want you to consider is the timing of the ceremony. What had just happened? What did Israel just experience after crossing the Jordan? Jericho and Ai and Bethel all fell. Why? They're cursed of the Lord. Achan, though he was an Israelite, disobeyed the commandment of the Lord and fell under the same curse. But the people of God, in their obedience, as they fulfilled the commandment of the Lord, they were blessed. And this ceremony tells them why they're blessed. It is not just simply because the Israelites are better, a better people, more faithful, or anything along those lines. What do you have? A burnt offering and a peace offering, right? Both that symbolizes their consecration to God and that they have peace with God. The law of Moses is written upon the wall that stands in between, and they're shouting the blessings and cursings, and they're recognizing that if we want to walk in the way of blessing, we must walk in the way of obedience. Everybody else falls under the curse. All right, thus ends the reading of Joshua 8.